You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi folks, welcome to the Game Week 32 preview episode of the 59th Minute FPL podcast, which is brought to you by Fantasy Football Scout. I'm Mark McGettigan. You'll find me on social media at FPL General. Another very quick turnaround, another deadline coming Saturday morning, 11 a.m. UK time, which is 90 minutes before Crystal Palace versus Manchester City kicks off. On this episode, a quick midweek review. We will welcome a high-profile member to the 59th Minute Club. A quick watchlist update, player stats from midweek, listener questions, captaincy, and possible transfers for the weekend. Make sure you hit subscribe or follow wherever you're listening for future episodes, and leave a five-star review too. Quick review of the game week. Finished on 63 points, rolled the free transfer, did not expect a green arrow after the Phil Foden masterclass / punishment for losing him on the wildcard, but somehow pulled it back on Thursday night, small green arrow from 91k to 87k, so the goal of 9 green arrows after the wildcard is just about still on. There was an unlikely hero in defence, Van Hekke, Brighton defender, getting me 6 points. I might need to frame that one. Don't get too many Brighton defenders getting 6-pointers nowadays. Gabriel came in with a clean sheet as well. Blanks for Kelleher and Porro. Cole Palmer with a 20-pointer on Thursday night. Is he now the best captain for the weekend? Possibly. We'll talk about that later. Captain Salah blanked. Saka didn't turn up. Haaland didn't turn up. Darwin got a 6-pointer. Was hoping for more from him, and there was blanks as well for Son and Solanke. Otto Saab off the bench, Garnacho with 14 points. That was the hero of the game week. Gusto came in with a 0 as well. 59th Minute Club, we have 3 members joining the club. Well, 2 new members and somebody joining for a second time this season, but possibly the most high profile we've ever had, Mohamed Salah. Welcome to the club, captained by a huge amount of people, triple captained by a few as well, in a very good fixture. And frustratingly for all of us, he comes off after 59 minutes. His teammate Gravenberch also joins him in the club. And at Everton, Abdoulaye Doucouré, who was already in the club, has now got his second shout-out of the season. Doucouré also has a 60-minute appearance this season as well, so an extremely lucky boy not to have the hat-trick, but another one to keep an eye on for the rest of the season. Also in that Everton game, Onana and Beto, must have been a triple substitution, but FPL website has recorded Beto and Onana as just about making it to 60. Elsewhere, 0 pointers and 0 minutes for Erling Haaland, Kevin De Bruyne, Bukayo Saka, and Kiwior at Arsenal, and frustratingly for Reguilon owners as well at Brentford on the bench and played just 17 minutes. As always, keep an eye on those clocks this weekend. Not too much change on the watch list this week. Haven't put the new watch list together last week, the week after the wildcard activation. The only things I've done midweek are removed Kevin De Bruyne because he didn't play and I don't trust his minutes. And I've added two Wolves players, Rayan Aitnouri, should have been on the watch list before now. Another very impressive performance, playing out of position. Very good cheap defender if you're looking for one. And also his teammate Mateus Cunha, good to see him back in action. I think he played about 14 minutes. So those of you who don't have a free hit for 34, Cunha is attractive for that with the double game week to come. We know he was having a very good season beforehand. So De Bruyne is gone and the two Wolves boys join the watch list. A few stats now from the Fantasy Football Scout members area from midweek. Defenders, first of all, I'm happy to see Malo Gusto show up again with four chances created. I'm very relieved that he got over his injury scare and I can hopefully use him now this weekend and not make a defensive transfer. Elsewhere, Harry Maguire pops up here with three goal attempts in the box, conceding a lot of goals, but at least there's some goal threat there. Long term, I'm looking at moving Lascelles to Maguire with bench boost 37 in mind, but there's no rush to make that transfer. I think around game week 35, Maguire is at home to Burnley, so I'm possibly eyeing up that as the best entry point. Midfielders, Cole Palmer, what a player. What a season. What a future this guy has. Against Manchester United, eight chances created and nine goal attempts. That is insane numbers. Sheffield United coming up. So I think a lot of people were switching armbands last night after the game to put it on the Chelsea man. And it's something I might end up doing myself before the weekend. Garnacho, good numbers, four goal attempts in the box. Pascal Gross, seven chances created. Luis Diaz at Liverpool, six chances created. If you've been on Luis Diaz for a few weeks, you've done well, and his underlying numbers are good also. Gibbs White, performing well in recent game weeks as well. Well done if you had him. He created four chances in that Nottingham Forest fixture and got plenty of FPL points as well. Phil Foden, four goal attempts and two shots in the box. So not spectacular numbers. When you see a player scoring a hat-trick, you probably expect maybe six or seven goal attempts. But obviously he was very efficient with those. Sold them recently. Very open to going straight back there, as I'm sure most of you are if you're also a non-owner. Elsewhere, when it comes to forwards, João Pedro at Brighton, he's back in action. He created four chances, as did Højlund at Manchester United. Chris Woods on the score sheet also created three chances for teammates. João Pedro also registered five shots in the box. So again, João Pedro one to keep an eye on, in particular when Brighton get their double game week, which is likely to be 37. Muniz pops up every week when I look at the numbers at Fulham. Another five shots in the box midweek, despite no attacking returns. Darwin Nunez in my team, but I'm quite open to selling him. He's quite a frustrating player to own. Didn't get as much as I wanted from him over the past two game weeks when Mr. Isak was doing damage when it was a close 50-50 wildcard call. So I might reverse that decision this week with one of the free transfers. But Darwin did have good numbers against Manchester United. Seven goal attempts, six in the box. But good numbers are one thing and putting the ball in the back of the net is another thing. Isak in midweek, four goal attempts and three shots in the box. So decent numbers there as well for the Newcastle man. I've been thinking a lot about Darwin versus Isak since I made that decision. And I always think, which of those players would I like to have on the end of a chance or going through 1v1 with a goalkeeper? And I think it is Isak, and he's also got penalty. So there's certainly some regret on that decision. And when I've got two frees and I don't have any real issues to deal with just yet, I like the idea of going back and making that switch. Isak is also quite attractive on my strategy of free hit 34, bench boost 37, because he's got good fixtures before and after 34, and then he's obviously got the double likely in 37 as well, and I'm pretty sure it's a good fixture for Newcastle in 38 as well. So he's just a good long-term play. Before I get stuck into the questions, a quick Patreon plug. FPL content creation is my full-time job. If you'd like to support me for the rest of the season and into next season also, check out patreon.com/FPLgeneral, where you will get lots of extra content in the form of podcasts, Q&As, live streams, and more. I jumped on last night right after the Chelsea-Manchester United game and did a 45-minute stream previewing this weekend's action. Patreon.com/FPL General. First question from FPL Wilson, who's absolutely flying this season. I think ranked about 400th overall. So keep pushing, Wilson, and let's see how far you can go. Saka to Foden this week. If we get leaks that Foden starts, that word, I hate leaks. But if there's going to be information there on Saturday morning, with Manchester City being the first kickoff, of course, serious, engaged FPL managers will use that to their advantage. We say advantage, doesn't always work out as an advantage. Things can go wrong in terms of players blanking and coming off the bench and scoring and stuff like that. Saka to Foden, even if you take the leak stuff out of it, I quite like that move this week. Saka is still flagged. I'm concerned that he wasn't even on the bench midweek. And Arteta hasn't given much away on Friday morning. He just said, we've got training in a couple of hours. We'll know then if he's fit. I think there's a good chance he probably will come back in this weekend, Saka, but there's slight doubts there for me. And given what Foden's just done, Foden, like Isak, also works quite well if you're on a free hit 34 strategy and a bench boost 37. The fixtures kind of play out quite nicely, and you don't need to have him in that game week 34. For example, if I did Saka to Foden this week, I could get Saka back on the free hits in 34, and the same goes for Darwin. So it's easier to make these moves, I think, if you do have a free hit left over. All things considered, regardless of chip strategy, all that kind of stuff, Foden, this is Phil Foden season. If you don't have him, if you've never had him, or if you've sold him recently, there is no reason not to go and get him, because this guy is special and he's absolutely flying. He's Pep's main man this season. We've seen Haaland on the bench midweek. He's not afraid to do that. But Phil Foden is got very few rests this season. And the good thing is the City game is the first fixture. So if you are thinking about buying him, if you can be online, obviously it makes sense to wait until Saturday morning to see if there's any information out there, just to make sure that this isn't his turn to get a rest. So Saka to Foden for me, on current information, on Friday morning, gets a green light. Question from Tacky LFC. With the knockout stage of the European competition returning, what's the plan for the Arsenal and Man City assets, as they might be regularly rested before the midweek fixtures? Yeah, of course it's a concern, especially at this time of the season when European competitions get pretty serious and you get, difficult opposition. And obviously managers like Arteta and Pep take those very seriously. So it's always a concern, but it doesn't really impact my FPL strategy too much. I still want to have as many of the best players from the best teams in the Premier League, your top three fighting for the title. Still, my primary focus is building the squad around that. If there's some rotation to go along with it, so be it. We've seen it this week, Haaland and Saka. But if you've got a good first sub, then there is ways around it. So it's not gonna impact. I'm not gonna suggest going buying mid-table players from mid-table teams instead. Still focus on the best players, and even if they miss a game or two or they get rotated, they can still easily outscore those players from lesser sides. Question from FPL Challenge. Stick or twist on Richarlison. Got him game week 30 wildcard. Obviously hasn't impressed, but I also know I've been burned by him this season. Ideal transfer this week is Bradley to Senesi and hold Richarlison. Richarlison, I think, is a bit of an issue. He's not getting the minutes. He's getting very few minutes from the bench as well, which concerns me. That tells me that maybe he won't be back in the starting 11 soon. Maybe we might have to wait a little bit longer for that. So I think you've got quite a risky asset in your team, especially if he is in your starting 11. So I would probably prioritise losing Richarlison over Bradley. I don't think you need to lose Bradley just yet. So yeah, Richarlison, I think, should go. Question from Ishank, another Tottenham question. Should we stick with Madison or should we move for somebody else? Already have Saka and Foden within the same price range and currently don't have the funds to move to Son. Yeah, I think Madison is just as big a weak link almost as Richarlison. I know Madison is getting minutes, but he's not getting what you would want him to. Last three appearances for Madison is 65, 67 and 69. And he just hasn't been back to his best yet. So Tottenham, I'm a bit downbeat on Tottenham assets. I've got Son, I've got Poro. I'm going to keep them and hope for the best. Son, I'm not really concerned about, but Porro, of course, is underperforming and he's taken up a fair chunk of the defensive budget. But if I had Madison, I would be looking to move away. Next question. Best forward to get for Watkins. I forgot to write down who this question was from. So who's the best Watkins replacement? On free hit 34, already have Muniz and Darwin and five midfielders. I'm happy to start every week. 3.8 in the bank. So best replacement for Watkins, if you already have Muniz and Darwin, I think straight away Isak is the first one that comes to mind. Newcastle fixtures, Fulham, Tottenham. Then if you do have free hit, which this manager does, you can get someone else. And then after that, you get Isak back for Sheffield United, Burnley, likely double game week, and Brentford. Those fixtures read very, very nicely. So Watkins to Isak, I would do that in a heartbeat. Question from Historian FPL. Given that Udogi and Porro have zero attacking returns in their last six games, should we look to move on from them? Or is it a simple case of more fixtures equals more tickets in the random defender points lottery that is FPL this season? Yeah, that's kind of the way I fall on it. If you're on Udogi or if you're on Porro, where do you go? There's nothing very attractive unless you don't have an Arsenal defender or you want another one to go with whatever you already have. Man City are still conceding goals. Van Dijk's expensive. Bradley will lose his place soon. So it's tricky. So I always come to the conclusion that Porro's got attacking potential. Maybe not as much as he had at the start of the season, but it's still there. Tottenham score goals. Maybe I'll get the odd assist or two. And we know when he does get them, that bonus points are likely. So I think Udogie popped up in the box with a very good chance midweek as well and put it straight at the goalkeeper. So he's still got some attacking threat also. Yeah, I think I would just stick with them unless you want Arsenal defenders. Question from Lee. Just before I answer Lee's question, just going back to the previous one, Eight Nuri is good. So maybe if you do want him, if you're desperate to move away from a Tottenham defender, Eight Nuri for more attacking potential than those two. So back to Lee's question. For those on Bench Boost 34, without Spurs and Chelsea assets, I have Palmer but will yo-yo him for 34, says Lee. How important are Spurs and Chelsea after the double? Chelsea are 12th for a reason. Spurs have woeful fixtures. Is it a trap or should it be prioritised to get to? So good question, different approach here. Bench Boost 34, won't have any Tottenham and Chelsea coming off the back of that. Palmer will come back in. But how many then others do you get from Chelsea and Spurs? I think if I was on that strategy, I wouldn't be going out of my way to get loads and loads of players from those teams. You probably look at Heung-Min Son. You might look at a cheap Gusto, just even as a, you know, a rotation pick in your defence, you know, defence third or fourth pick. Petrovic, I wouldn't be in a rush to on recent, you know, Chelsea results. And yeah, we talked about the Tottenham defenders there. They're not really as attractive as they were previously. So, you know, prioritise Palmer, maybe Son. After that, I don't think you need to rush to get lots and lots of players from those teams. I actually feel quite a bit uncomfortable having triple Chelsea. Palmer's obviously fine. Gusto and Petrovic, I'm going to be rolling both of them out again this week against Sheffield United. But again, Sheffield United just scored against Liverpool. So if they score against Liverpool, they're probably going to score against Chelsea as well. So yeah, it's a fixtures play, but it's certainly one I'm not overly confident about. And I decided to go with just two Tottenham players on the wildcard when I could have went with three. So that kind of tells you how I feel about them as well. Question from Daryl Dixon. For those managers still carrying the triple captainship, when would be the best time to use it and whom? So again, depends what other chips you have available, of course. But if you're not using a bench boost or a free hit in 34, I think Mohamed Salah is probably an obvious triple captain against Fulham and Everton, two away fixtures, but that wouldn't really bother me. If you're using a bench boost or a free hit in 34, you're probably looking at a double game week asset later. Players that will have a double game week likely in 37 or maybe 35 or 36 possible as well for Chelsea and Tottenham. Cole Palmer, Heung-Min Son and Erling Haaland. So I think those four names I mentioned is where you should be looking for that chip. Final question is from Keith Cameron, who's currently contemplating the ruins of another wildcard. Is the moral of the tale never to use this chip in a midweek round of matches? Yeah, there might be something to that. But we always wildcard when we think it is right for our squad. And if that falls during a midweek round of games, or like I did, you know, after an international break, which is never ideal either. You know, there's always some doubts over players, you know, with niggly international knocks and stuff like that. It's, yeah, maybe there is something to the midweek thing when there's, especially if there's three games in a week, it is a dangerous time to wildcard, whether that's, I think 30, 31 and 32 are all dangerous for that reason, because we are seeing rotation, especially from some of the bigger teams. So maybe something to think about for next season. If, you know, game week 30, 31 looks like a great time to wildcard, is it around an international break? Is there three games in 7 or 8 days for a lot of teams? And we probably do need to be a little bit more careful with that. But again, the key is probably make sure that bench is useful. Moving on to captaincy, the bus team, and potential transfers for Game Week 32. Captaincy, it is wide open, but Cole Palmer has certainly put his hand up as pick me, like the donkey in Shrek, standing at the back. I'm playing Sheffield United. I'm on about 14 goals for the season now. Maybe it's even more, 16 goals for the season, given that he didn't start a game until around Game Week 7. Plays one of the worst teams in the league, if not the worst. So, yeah, Cole Palmer's probably the number one candidate right now, but there's a lot of other good options. I like arrested Erling Haaland away to Crystal Palace. You've got Phil Foden in that fixture as well, off the back of his hat-trick. Salah always seems to do well against Manchester United, who just conceded 4 goals against Chelsea. Heung-min Son, a nice home fixture at home to Nottingham Forest. Alexander Isak, who's got it. Goals in each of his last 4 games, plays Fulham, I like that as well. Solanke's had a great season, he's away to Luton, and Saka, if he's fit, plays Brighton. But I think the top candidates for me are Cole Palmer, Erling Haaland, and Foden, and I'd probably throw Salah and Son in the mix there again. I tried to pick one or two there, and I picked 4 or 5 just quite naturally. So there's a lot of options. I think Cole Palmer will probably be most popular now. You'll probably see a bit of a movement within FPL to captain him against Sheffield United, and it's perfectly justified. I think with Palmer, we need to forget, well, you know, don't fall into the price trap with him. We like captaining players that are, you know, 10, 11, 12 million, but look at his numbers and look at his season. Cole Palmer is a 10, 11, 12 million FPL asset this season that we got for pennies. Some people got him for, was it 4.9? We will look back on that for years. You know, remember the time I bought Cole Palmer for 4.9 million when he is a 10, 11, 12 million pick in this game. So maybe that is where I will end up, but I do need to give captaincy some more thought. The bus team, before any moves are made, Petrovic and Gusto will play this week with Gabriel and Porro. The midfield is looking like Salah, Son, Saka, and Cole Palmer. Up front, Haaland, Darwin and Solanke. So on paper, that's absolutely fine. There is 2 free transfers available. There's only 0.1 million in the bank. I think without giving it too much thought, my gut instinct, my initial reaction following midweek is just make the moves I want to make. Saka to Foden, Darwin to Isak. I want to own Isak. I want Foden back. I don't like the Saka injury niggles. I don't really enjoy owning Darwin Nunez. Underlying numbers are always there, but he scuffs a lot of chances, misses a lot of big chances. Isak is a cool finisher. So yeah, I probably will use the 2 frees with Foden and Isak coming in. And most importantly then, I feel like I'll be very happy with my team going into the weekend. And that is what we're always looking for in FPL. We're looking for happiness. And if you're happy with your team, you are winning. So also, if I make those moves, it frees up a little bit of cash. So with one eye on, you know, getting Maguire for Lascelles at some point, and, you know, a Kelleher upgrade at some point before Game Week 37 as well. Won't make those moves until Saturday morning. I will wait to see if there's any Foden information. I think I've already missed a price rise on Foden Thursday night, but that doesn't bother me. There's no issues. I'm not going to be priced out of any of those moves. And whatever I've got left over for future transfers, I will just play with whatever cash I have. Thank you for taking the time to listen, folks. Best of luck for the weekend, and I'll talk to you again next week. If you're not interested in the Patreon stuff, you can simply buy me a coffee instead, at buymeacoffee.com/FPL General. Anyone who does so gets an invite to my FPL Discord server. Wishing you all a green arrow.
Sports Social Podcast Network.